Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome back to Mallory's Weird World Adventures, the podcast. As always, I'm Mallory, and I'm here to show you just how weird this world of ours really is. And today, I am in Stuttgart, Germany, and I'm about to take off on a press trip that will take me through country of Germany, which I'm very excited about. It's very nature-centric, very history-centric, hitting a lot of medieval villages, and also even seeing some artifacts left by from the Ice Age, including some old petroglyphs. So I'm really, really nerding out and excited about this one. However, first, I would like to do a follow-up because I told you guys I'd give you a whole rundown on the ECAD, and I haven't finished that. So let's do part two of the Explorers Club annual dinner before I continue off into Germany here to give you a whole string of cool adventures on the podcast from southern Germany. So we had already talked about in the last ECAD podcast the things that happen on the weekend around the Explorers Club annual dinner. So now I'm here to tell you all about the actual dinner itself, which is just something that I was dreaming about attending for many years. So I was thrilled when I got to go to my first ECAD last year. You heard me and my friend Dakota, the Egyptologist, talk about it last year. And I'm going to do a conversation today about what it was like to go for the second time and, you know, what that looks like, how things are similar and how things are different. So let's also too, I have to just drop this, that my friend actually ate a tarantula. Not just a spider. I was going to say spider, but no, it's a tarantula. So we're going to go into details about that too. But anyway, let's go. So as we prepared to go to the Explorers Club annual dinner this year, we made sure we got there early. We kind of learned that, weirdly enough, everything having to do with the events for the Explorers Club over the whole weekend, it's really just better to get there early than it is to get there later. Which you would expect with a lot of these people that I know in the Explorers Club to actually come later, but earlier is always better because there might be stuff you're going to miss out on if you don't get there early. And the spiders are one of them. So one of the things the Explorers Club annual dinner is notorious for is the bizarre things that people wind up eating while they're there. There's special VIP lunches where we had cicadas last year. There's always some kind of interesting, you know, invasive insect species or bugs. And I think the one that everyone always talks about is the fact that they have basically like cooked tarantulas, like fried tarantulas on sticks that you can eat. And, we missed it last year and I was so bummed because that's like my Everest. I was determined to do it because that really is like, if I can eat a tarantula, I can do anything because I'm horrendously arachnophobic. Like that would be my Everest, like conquering the things that represent my fears in life. But they didn't have them last year. And then this year, we got there early and there was only one left. And I had it in my hand and I took some pictures with it. And Dakota was really just all about eating that spider. So I, you know, kindly gave it to her. I'm like, well, you know, she really wants it. So yeah, Look, facing that thing, just holding it, it's like horrifying. So I was definitely okay passing the torch there. And she ate it. Say that video of her eating it is really just what nightmares are made of. She just puts the whole thing in her mouth all at once. Someone said that was easier. Someone actually came over and was like, don't worry, it's easier if you just put it all in your mouth at the same time and go. And she stuffs the whole thing in her mouth, and this is the part that just, cover your ears if you're arachnophobic, I don't know, it's too much for me, where it doesn't quite fit all the way, so there's like two legs sticking out, like a leg on each side is like sticking out of her mouth, and oh, it just makes me want to vomit watching the video, but it's like you can't look away from it either. Like we have to watch this in action, I mean, ugh. But you know, if the opportunity ever arises to eat one, I'm going to have to do it because it's really my Everest. I mean, really, like if I could do that, I could prove to myself that I could do anything that I set my mind to, within reason, obviously, like within the natural laws of our world. But yeah, that was something else. And me and Michael just ate our scorpions. You know, the fun that I'm getting used to eating scorpions now, and that's just a really, really interesting thing to say. This year it didn't, it tasted worse, I feel like, this year than it did last year. I think the sauce didn't quite do it justice, but I did, it's in a like a little lettuce roll, so you just kind of roll the lettuce over it and eat it, and really it, the only way you know you're eating a scorpion is I think it kind of has this little metallicy taste, and it definitely also like crunches a little bit. You get some of that exoskeleton in your teeth, which is also just a really disturbing thing to say, but you do. Aside from that, the Moapi worms and Joe Rohde is a Disney Imagineer and cultural anthropologist, and just an all-around amazing, accomplished, wonderful person. He is effectively the father of Animal Kingdom at Disney. He also, worked a lot at Epcot as an anthropologist, and he's just renowned throughout the club, and he's a very kind, wonderful person. And he came up behind me in Dakota when we were eating those Moapi, or when we were walking by the Moapi worms, and he goes, "Well, you guys gotta have these. They're really good if you dip them in hot sauce." And we're like, "Well, when Joe Rohde tells you you eat those Moapi worms, you eat those Moapi worms." So we ate them, and that it was horrible. I mean, I would have preferred the scorpion. That those worms tasted like moldy peanuts. I mean, really and truly, it was quite nasty. Like you're doing this to do this, not because it tastes great. And then the mealworms, and it was, I ate what I could and then walked away. It's like a challenge. Like you see this table laid up before you and you're like, "Well, this is a challenge, and I'm going to tackle this challenge, and then I'm going to move on." It's also cool because they do an auction throughout the night, and I didn't really look much at the artifacts and things that they were and trips and things that they were auctioning out the first time because I was so just in awe of everything else. But as you walk in, there's a silent auction, and there's some cool things on there that aren't like crazy expensive. I mean, I will say, after I had a drink or two in me, I was trying to bid on a sword with the Explorers Club logo and a crystal sword with the Explorers Club logo. And due to my inability to technically figure out how to bid, I luckily didn't come home with a sword. But it would have been cool. I don't know why. Just those swords, they spoke to me. So there's some interesting like variety of things. And my favorite part is Josh Gates was hosting the event like he usually does. And he put on display, like he showed everybody, a meat tenderizer with the Explorers Club logo on it that was, part of the auction. And he just like throws it a little hey in the night, while he's hosting. And then all of a sudden I think it goes up to like $13,000. I mean, the meat tenderizer went for thousands of dollars because he gave it a shout out, and I was like, "I'm sorry, what?" That was like the artifact of the night is this meat tenderizer with the Explorers Club logo on it. It was pretty wild. But anyway, the pre-event, like the cocktail reception before the dinner, takes place in this beautiful room with these big glass walls in the glass house, appropriate name. And there's a step and repeat where you can get pictures. There's the, appetizer. There's actual like real food appetizers walking around that people would eat, with waiters scanning them out. And then there's the table of invasive species that I had mentioned before. And this year it was the Cosmic Ballet, like I said. So there was ballerinas dancing all around the room on their little platforms and special space-themed drinks. And they even brought in lunar rovers. So they had a lunar rover that had been to the moon, and I think they had another one that was going to the moon. And we were allowed to take pictures on them, and that was pretty cool. They had the louche, the drink louche or whatever it is, which me and Dakota really found amusing last year. And yeah, overall it was just a really good, fun, like little cocktail hour with weird drinks and weird food and amazing people. And that's why I love the Explorers Club so much. But I already went on that rant last time. So then they open up the hall for the main event. Now, the main hall for the Glass House this big giant reception room where we have the gala, at least we have the last couple of years, is pretty amazing. I mean, it's almost like the atmosphere speaks for itself. Like, there's not much going on in there, but it's so well minimalistically laid out that it's incredibly impressive. Like, you know, your whole, all of the sides are just these big glass wall windows that overlook Manhattan. And specifically, we're at the water. We're on the west side of the water. So it overlooks the water and some of the buildings if you look out the side, and it's just beautiful. And then there's all this pretty lighting that's like laid out to be, you know, greens and blues and all these colors that just look really nice. And, you know, it's such a big hall that there's screens everywhere, so you're always going to be able to see what's happening on stage, even if you can't directly look right at the stage at any given moment. And it's really just, it's a very high class, wonderful, beautiful event space. And it's really quite exceptional. It makes you feel like, you know, you're special and you're in this incredibly exclusive club, which you kind of are. So, and the food, you know, they do a good job spacing out the food throughout the night, throughout like the giving away the awards. And then there's also a live auction for all these crazy exploration trips. And there's just a lot of cool stuff going on. And they space out the food really well throughout the night. And they served ribs. And I mean, I'm definitely like not a rib person by any means, but it was delicious. It was like the best meat I have ever had. It was so well seasoned, and everything about the night and the food and the environment was wonderful. And I won't say maybe how, but I will say that we did get invited to the special VIP after party for after the event, down in it was a pretty small room space, actually, because it wasn't too many people, but with our president, Richard Garriott, and a lot of really awesome people were down there. And that was kind of amazing to get it, to be able to be invited into that environment. It was cool. So we had this wonderful evening with the gala. We're watching all these noteworthy, wonderful people who've made incredible contributions to science, specifically in the realms of space travel, getting awards. You know, we're watching all these cool, you know, trips and things for this auction, and it was just a great night. And then it ends in the after party downstairs, and they had espresso martinis that were like space themed. They called them something specific, but forgive me for not remembering now. But it printed like an astronaut helmet in a spaceship, like a rocket, in the foam on the martini, which was really cool. And that definitely kept me up, because I mean, I think we were there partying until after 2 in the morning, and that's like crazy for me. I don't go to bed early, but I definitely do not stay up partying until 2 o'clock in the morning. So I was definitely, you know, exhausted after that. But it was wonderful. They had a cigar bar down there. We went out in the patio. We had a patio out there where you could smoke your cigars. And then at one point, they called for pizza. And so, you know, it's getting late in the night when people start calling for pizza. And it was pretty good pizza at like 1 in the morning. And at one point, Sylvia Earle was there, which, if you don't know, I mean, she's one of the most famous oceanographers of all time. And that was really cool. My friend came over and was like freaking out a little bit because she was there. And we talked to one of the guys that's heading her current projects, and he was really cool. And again, I've said this before, I'll say it again, I can't stop saying it. The thing I love about the Explorers Club is this guy's heading Sylvia Earle's project, and he's like, well, I'm not really, you know, part of the Explorers Club. I'm not cool like you guys. You know, I'm just helping out with this thing. And I'm like, you're leading Sylvia Earle's project. What are you talking about? That's exceptional. Everybody's so humble, and it's really amazing. So to get to be there at the event to eat all the weird, crazy, invasive species and bugs and spiders, and to get to see all the memorabilia from space, things that have been to space, coming in, getting to like eat and watch the evening's festivities in this beautiful and elegant hall, and just being at a live auction is always kind of fun, so that part is exceptional to me too. And then getting to almost bid on a sword and just watch so many incredible people receive awards, and then to kind of somehow get swept into the special after party downstairs, and to get to just be around some of the greatest minds in exploration in this exclusive little gathering. It was pretty incredible. It was the like ECAD last year was great because, as I mentioned, I met the Irwins, and I'm all about conservation, so it was just a magical experience, and I'm so glad that I had that as my first experience at the Explorers Club. This time was more, I'm a little bit more of a pro. I know where to go and what to do, and it was more about soaking in the differences between the events and getting to see what's going on behind the scenes a little bit more. And I knew more people, so I'm going to this after party, and so I feel more at home in the Explorers Club every time I'm there. I'll never stop having imposter syndrome, and I don't think anyone stops having it, because even the most notable people in the club still kind of seem to have it because everyone's just so impressive. But I'll never stop having imposter syndrome, but it is cool. I feel more comfortable. I feel more in my element than I did last year, and I'm assuming it'll only be more and more comfortable the more people I know and the more I meet and the more I feel accomplished in what I'm doing. So, needless to say, it was an incredible experience this year at ECAD, and I like how many things are quite similar, but then there's still a vast contrast between last year when they were focused on conservation and they had a lot of wild animals, going around that you could pose with and pet and see and learn about. And then this year, with it being space and the cosmic ballet, they had the ballerinas, they had all the cool tools and tech that have been to space. There's a countdown to go into the main dining hall. They pay attention to details, and it really makes it something special. I feel like they're probably going to keep doing it at the Glass House, but I did hear that they've done it at the Natural History Museum before in New York. They had done it on Ellis Isle one time, which apparently was horrible because you had to take a boat, to get to it, which just seems like a whole ordeal. So it's been many interesting places. So I'm always curious to see if it's going to stay at the Glass House because, it's such a nice setup and, elegance and ease over history maybe sometimes, but they've had it at some pretty amazing places, so we'll have to see what's to come next year. And I guess that's all about the Explorers Club annual dinner. I hope to give you guys another recap for my third year as I get even more comfortable with it and as things progress. But for now, I guess I'll set up for the next few weeks of podcast here. As I mentioned, I'm going to be in the south of Germany over on the western side. I'm in Stuttgart right now. And I'm going to be on a week-long trip here exploring some really neat places. As I mentioned, some of them are medieval, some of them are, caves, getting to go into like a lot of the natural environments here and soaking in a lot of the history. I'm going to do several podcasts while I'm here. So the next few weeks will continue to be more about Germany and the history of southern Germany, connecting back to the Ice Age, which is just really neat. A lot of the medieval spots and some monasteries. So it'll be vastly different, but really exceptionally cool. So a lot on the history and anthropology. And it's petroglyphs and cave paintings. One of the first things that I learned, at least, when I was studying cultural anthropology. And I've never actually seen any in person, I don't think. So it'll be really cool for me. I'm most looking forward to that, to be able to get to see those in person. So that'll be a really fun experience I get to share with you guys. So that'll be a highlight of one of the things that we discuss for sure. And this is going to be a little bit of a shorter episode, seeing as how I'm in Germany and I've been on a plane for the last, I don't know, 15 hours and I am exhausted. So I'm going to go to bed. I'm going to get ready to get my adventure on here and I will be sending you guys updates from Germany. So the next few podcasts, again, Southern Germany. Until then, stay weird, everybody.